We're here to pay our final respects, a tribute to Mr. David Benvenisti, to some of us Uncle Dave, for others Papu Dave. Dave, the youngest of four siblings, born to Moshe and Esther Benvenisti. He was raised by his older sisters, Dinah and Rachel. Brother Davey, as he was affectionately called, loved his siblings, and he was raised in a loving Sephardic home. Dave loved his wife, Marianne, and would do anything for her. He could never say no, and he never did. Dave loved produce shopping, and he was always happy to be out doing the errands that Marianne sent him on. His care for her when Marianne was sick was just pure love and devotion. It took its toll on him, but he never complained. We'll never focus on that. Dave was a huge sports fan. He had his lucky clothes and his lucky routines for all his local teams. He had the old-fashioned transistor radio to listen to all the games. Dave was proud, above all, of his children and his grandchildren. For his children, Jeff, Ken, and Rob, you are his crowning achievement. You brought such comfort to him in his old age. The love and the support you have shown your father should be as a standard for others to live by. Dave, the devoted husband who provided for his family, who worked for almost 50 years for Boeing, a hard-working man who taught all of his sons about the importance of a hard day's work and what it means to have a strong work ethic. He loved his community. When I first came to Seattle for several years after Marianne passed, Dave, in his declining health, would still make an effort to come to my weekly tour portion class on Mercer Island. He was known for having a great sense of humor, something all the Benvenisti family have, or think they have. But I want to focus a little bit on Dave, the spiritual man, the side which I saw of him, the emotional side where he wanted, at times of trouble and difficulty, to connect to God. At the end of last week's Torah portion, we read of the passing of our patriarch Abraham, or Abraham, and we're told, Vayivar Vayamot Abraham, Beseva Tova Zaken Besavea, Vayasef El Amav. And Abraham breathed his last, dying at a good ripe age, old and contented, and he was gathered into his people. We read that verse on Saturday morning, just a couple of hours after Uncle Dave breathed his last breath. But I want to tell you, and this is true of Benvenisti men, when they know that their time is coming, they know. And they know exactly how to prepare. All the family comes round to say their parting tributes, their last words. But then, everyone moves out of the way because Dave wants the rabbi to visit. And I don't say this about me, I say this for Dave, because the few times that I went to visit this past week, Dave wanted to do tefillah. And not just say the Shema one last time, but he wanted to do morning berachot. He wanted to sing the more familiar songs, En Keloheinu, Adon Olam, even some Yom Kippur repertoire. He wanted to do some El Nora Alila. That last prayer, El Nora Alila, is a prayer that we say as the gates of heaven are closing. And now we see that the gates of heaven are opening for Uncle Dave, for Papu Dave. Dave was ready, with a clean heart, with a clear soul, ready to be united in heaven with his beloved wife, Mary Ann, his siblings who predeceased him, and his parents. He was truly, as the verse says, gathered into his people as he passed on Shabbat. As I visited Dave on Friday morning, the last words he said to me were, Shabbat Shalom. He knew Shabbat was coming, and maybe he knew that he was going to pass on Shabbat. He was truly in touch spiritually, and he was ready for his next journey to be reunited with his beloved wife, Marianne. We should all be so fortunate that we are able to know when is our last moment, that we're able to say that which is meaningful to our loved ones, and also to be gathered in, that when we take our last breath, that we know that we have no regrets, that we've made teshuvah in the way that we're able, that we are able to repent to the degree that we're able to, so we have a clean soul when we go up to heaven. And I can say with certainty, Dave, that there is a great place in heaven waiting for you. I'd like to call on Jeff to give the eulogy for his father.
I'm going to do my best to get through this. And first of all, I'd like to thank the Brotherhood for everything you did for our family during this week. The calls on Saturday, he was on the spot, and we couldn't be more thankful. My father, David Ben-Benisti, was a man whose sole goal in life was to be there for his family. Whether to visit a brother or sister in the hospital, to help a friend with an errand, or chase down a baseball glove before a state semifinal baseball game for an absent-minded son. That was me. He was a terrific father to his three sons, Ken, Rob, and myself. We never felt like we did without, and always felt like our dad was with us, no matter the situation. A Pinewood Derby, a baseball or football practice, a class project, or a daily issue that we needed help with. One time in junior high school or middle school today, I was being bullied to the point that I had to do something. I was bothered by it. My dad asked what's going on, and I told him the situation, and he goes, how do you want to deal with it? Well, I told my dad I'm going to have to fight him, and I'm probably going to get suspended for it. And my dad said then, well, let's do it. That night, he coached me up. And the next morning, he drove me to school early so I could wait for the guy. Prepared to get that first punch in, I survived the battle, got suspended 2 days, and never felt more lucky to have a dad like my father. I'm sure my brothers have a similar memory, or memories, hopefully not of fighting, but of getting advice and support from Dad. My dad had many passions, but none surpassed his love for Seattle sports, particularly the Seattle Sonics. People would come from far and beyond to come watch my father watch games. He'd be wearing his Wilson sweatsuit. We should have charged admission for the entertainment value of watching him watch a game. My dad loved his grandchildren, each and every one of you. You were his pride and joy. The support that you shared, you showed him through his last years in life, are with him as he looks down on you. As you go on in life and you live your lives, please remember the examples that Bapa showed you. My dad had many friends who are here now or who have passed as the years gone by. He made you laugh and you made his life full. He loved each and every one of you. To my Aunt Jerry and Uncle Jack, thank you for fulfilling your promise that you made to my mom. And looking at death, your mission is complete. She is happy for what you did. You came in, Elaine. Thanks for doing all that you did for Dad. He knows you love him, and he loves you. Bryce, Lauren, Adrian, Alexa, David, and Dean, your calls and visits to Papa meant the world to him. Camino, this is tough. Your spiritual support and prayers you did with Dad were remarkable. You sent him off the way he came into this world, a Jewish man of tremendous faith. To Rabbi, thank you for your visits and prayers over the last week of his life. It meant everything to him and to us as a family. You are the definition of a rabbi. To my brother Rob, you were my dad's rock for the last years of his life. Ken and I appreciate everything you did for Dad. I know Dad would always count on you to be there every Saturday for music, or to answer the phone 24/7, 5 to 10 times a day. Rob, you're a terrific brother, and in many ways, a hero to your big brother. Dad was lucky you were the one that lived close. Mom was looking down at you with nothing but pride. You did your job. Finally, no story of Dave Benvenisti can be told without his co-star and love of his life, Marianne and Levy Benvenisti, my mom, or Mayor. My dad adored my mother. They were partners in life. I watched them grow up from their early 20s through the ups and downs of their lives as they grew old. So their love grew to a crescendo. They raised three boys and saw each and every one of them go to college and graduate. They saw their family grow with 7 grandchildren. They were terrific parents and even better grandparents. Each grandchild will have their own memories of them. I hope and pray that they share with their children what special people mom and dad were. My dad would do all and everything for my mom. The nonstop Costco and grocery store runs, the filling up of the gas tank. I doubt my mom ever touched the gas tank. When my mom became ill with ALS, Dad took it to another level. His mission in life was to make sure mom stayed in her own throughout her illness. He aged 5 to 10 years in fulfilling that mission. Dad, job well done. This is the story of Dave Benvenisti, an ordinary man who accomplished extraordinary things for his family. As we told Dad in the very last days of his life, Dad, you accomplished everything you set out to do. Now it's time to go be with Mom. She is waiting for you. I love you, Dad.
Hear briefly from the three grandchildren. First David, and then Bryce, and Lauren Kukash.
Okay. Bapa, on November 19th, 2022, or 25 Cheshvan 5783, David Beminski started the process of leaving behind his body and transitioning into a new world. I know it's difficult to not have him in our physical presence anymore. However, the memories left behind can be shared, repeated, and never forgotten. This is how the soul lives on forever. It's up to all of us to help people remember each other for future generations. He can be known as Bapo, Dad, Husband, Brother, Father-in-law, Friend, Co-worker, or whatever relationship you had with him. In the end, he was a dependable, funny, and respected human being. You could find him attending synagogue services for the high holidays and memorizing the prayers coming from the Hazan so he could repeat them later back at home. Some memories I have with Bapo include traveling to Arizona to visit my other grandparents and also attending Seattle sports games. While we were in Arizona one year, we went to Olive Garden and we ended dinner around 7 p.m. Bapo made a remark out loud since the waiter was taking a long time to give us our check. He mentioned something like, "Where's the receipt? I have to get home." It was hysterical and an inside joke running for years later. When he attended sporting events with me, he always was shouting for our team to win and never stopped, even in the craziest weather conditions or even the time of the day. The name Bapo was nicknamed from Dean. Bapo has a special name, David Beminski, and even without a middle name. I'm super fortunate for my parents naming me after him and including my dad's first name as my middle name. I plan to make him, along with Grandma Marianne, proud that I was named after him for the rest of my years here on Earth. Thank you so much to everyone for attending today's service. Let us say Amen and Baruch Hashem.
Bapo taught me that it's okay to not be the loudest person in the room. He showed me that respect, kindness, and following through on your word is what matters most. Bapo displayed this throughout his life. Whether it was taking us as kids to plays in downtown Seattle, or making the best damn salad you've ever had. Some of my favorite moments I spent with Bapo were over the past few years. Thankfully, I lived close to Island House and was able to visit him. With ice cream cones and black licorice. Whether it was watching the Mariners, Jeopardy, or WWE Monday Night Raw, these are times I'll never forget. What's great about Bapo is you don't have to fake it with him. You can show up as you are, and he'll accept you as so. Sometimes few words were spoken, but whenever he did speak, you listened. Feels like just yesterday, Grandma Marianne was shouting, "Dave!" as he shuffled in the pantry for an afternoon snack. Bapo, thank you for building this family. I'm so thankful for the time we spent together. I love you always.
My grandfather, also known as Bapo, as you heard, thanks to my older brother Dean and his ability to articulate his ease, turning grandpa to Bapo. My Bapo, or also known as the Bop, would sometimes respond to us saying his name with just a head nod. But in more recent years, he may have gotten just the shoo shoo with your hands as a replacement when he was done with the conversation. The past few weeks has been incredibly heartbreaking. Slowly saying goodbye to one of the people I've known the longest. I find comfort in knowing the selfless and kind, calm yet stubborn, joyful yet quiet grandfather is now reunited with the love of his life, my Grandma Mary Ann. In preparation for today, I racked my memory for the perfect story to share to summarize what my papa was and how he would want to be remembered. But all I could come up with were really funny things that he did, because that's just who he was. One of my favorite memories that Bryce touched on is speeding down Mercer Street to make it on time to the Seattle Children's Theater. In my memory, all of us grandkids were in the car, but I don't think that's physically possible. So I'm sorry for who wasn't there. It was hilarious. It was an Acura. We were going way too fast. And us kids were screaming in the back seat because we thought we were going to die. And all I can think about is, what was Bobo doing? Was he passed out in the front? Was he speechless because he was just so long for the ride? Probably just speechless. After Bobo passed on Saturday, as a family, we all sat together, as we like to do. But as grandchildren, we shared our memories, and I wanted to touch on a few of those. Bobo was really bad at charades. Just thinking of him trying to get... I think he was describing that he had a book, but instead of saying the book title, he was just... He got the word book.
Yeah.
He took us on lots of little adventures that made our childhood feel magical. I know my parents were around all the time, but when I think of being a kid, it's driving around with Grandma and Papa, doing anything, even if it was just an errand. As Adrian, Alexa, Bryce, David, I don't think Dean and I remember this as much, but Papa would take us to the candy store and tell us to fill up a bag. And I think the intention was that he could take home a bag himself. He was full of one-liners, like, I wear my CPAP so I don't die, Adrian. I can't go swimming with you in Arizona, Lauren. I would drown. I don't know how to swim. Recently, the day before he left Island House for the last time, Adrian and I spent an evening with him. It was special because we didn't talk the way that we usually do, where we're trying to pull things out of Bobo. We just talked and let Bobo jump in when he had something to say. And although there's so many things you could say about that afternoon, my favorite is Bobo's inability to care what other people think. And he asked Adrian and I how much money we made every week, and then laughed because he thought it was hilarious. And now he knows. There's so many memories of him being selfless for us, as others touched on.